I'm Lizanne Flynn. I'm a master healer who works with all earthlings to reunite them within themselves and with each other, regardless of the dimension they're currently in. Meaning, I'm a medium as well as an animal communicator, medical intuitive, and channel for all beings. I use the tools of shamanic journeying and soul retrieval to support animals and humans as they heal from past trauma. I'm certified as a Reiki master teacher and as a canine massage therapist. This is the Animal's Eye View podcast. Perhaps a gentle reminder at the start of this podcast is in order regarding any quasi-medical and or scientific information that we'll be chatting about. The name of this podcast is, not to be redundant, The Animal's Eye View, which is meant to convey the viewpoint of the animals on this glorious planet that we share with them. It's also a bit of a play on words of the animals that I, Lizanne, see, air quotes, and that we all can see in energy. And it's funny, even though my job title has morphed over the years so that I could encompass and communicate accurately the scope of the services that I offer to both animals and humans, that name was what was registered with the Colorado Secretary of State's office way back in 2008, when I was a freshly minted canine massage therapist, current animal communicator, and soon-to-be Reiki master teacher, and all the other assorted enhancements that came along the way with all things energy. And I got to say, hindsight really is 2020, right? So that when I reference the freeze, fight, flight, or faint, it is generally, keyword, associated with the experience of animals, capital A, on Earth, and at the same time, your own body and mine might very well feel one of those intuitive pings that I often refer to, which happen when the body says, hey, this here, this right here is your truth. So when I was thinking about making my notes for the podcast, I did ask myself the question, well, which sympathetic nervous system response is mine after freeze? Fight, flight, faint, or forward? And I'll let you know at the end. And before we get to that part, I'll review what I learned during canine massage class and what I passed along when I taught the class several years ago, which is the autonomic nervous system, ANS, formerly referred to as the vegetative nervous system, is a division of the peripheral nervous system that supplies internal organs, smooth muscle, and glands. And by the way, this is directly from Wikipedia. I will definitely put a link into the podcast notes. It goes on. The autonomic nervous system is a control system that acts largely unconsciously and regulates bodily functions such as the heart rate, its force of contraction, digestion, respiratory rate, pupillary response, urination, and sexual arousal. This system is the primary mechanism in control of the fight or flight response. And it goes on. The autonomic nervous system is regulated by integrated reflexes through the brainstem to the spinal cord and organs. Autonomic functions include control of respiration, cardiac regulation, the cardiac control center, in other words, vasomotor activity, the vasomotor center, and certain reflex actions such as coughing, sneezing, swallowing, and vomiting. We're nothing if not complex. More accurately, I should say, the body is nothing but complex. It's not complicated, y'all. Just think complex. The article ends with, although conflicting reports about its subdivisions exist in the literature, the autonomic nervous system has four branches. This is the key point. The sympathetic nervous system, the parasympathetic nervous system, the visceral sensory nervous system, and the enteric nervous system. The sympathetic nervous system is often considered the fight or flight system, while the parasympathetic nervous system is often considered the rest and digest, or the feed and breed system. That's the end of that article. So, to paraphrase, with all of that scientific information in there, to paraphrase, you have a body with a skeleton, organs, muscle, and skin. Are you with me so far? And one of the systems in your body is the autonomic, meaning acting or occurring involuntarily, nervous system. An easy way to remember the difference between the sympathetic nervous system, although perhaps not really because the body responds in sympathy with, or rather to, whatever energy is coming in, and the parasympathetic nervous system is with the letter S for stress, as in sympathetic, and the letter P for peace, and the parasympathetic nervous system. One revs you up, and again, more accurately, responds to whatever input is coming in, and the other calms you down. The article made mention of the feed and breed system for the sympathetic nervous system, and I think quite rightly so in both cases. When you think of an animal, and by the way, you're an animal as well, and depending upon their place in the food chain, the sympathetic nervous system would perhaps give both predator and prey the same stress signal, if you will, of fight, flight, or faint. So imagine a tiger stalking prey. They often start with freeze, and the prey starts with freeze as well, although the tiger is not freezing out of fear, where their prey would likely freeze out of fear, right? Tiger is perhaps mirroring that as well as to make the most of their own camouflage. They are, in effect, interestingly enough, harmonizing with their prey. And think of the prey wanting to take flight or perhaps choosing to fight after freeze and how their predator, our tiger ambassador, would mirror that action as well. The prey takes off running. There goes tiger right after prey. If they stop, prey might choose to engage with tiger. Tiger absolutely is going to meet that and then some with the prey that they are seeking. As far as the breeding goes, I think enough is said when it comes to animals of all kinds reproducing and how the physical responses of the body do, in fact, put stress on the heart, lungs, and other organs and muscles. We don't often think of reproduction or practicing at reproduction in these terms, yet it's a fact that the body considers this truth. After all, the bottom line, the body's only imperative while you're on this planet is to keep you happy and healthy for as long as you're supposed to be here, soul path-wise, which, say it with me again, is way above our pay grade. Thank you. And because humans see the body through a prism of either someone else's eyes like science and or the science professional, i.e. a doctor, or our own emotions such as pain or pleasure, we've forgotten that it's not how we feel or think about what we feel that's important. It's crucial that we feel, period, directly from the body, without any of the middlemen, whether that's the mind or another science professional, I'll get to that in a second, getting in the way. It's crucial that we feel and understand as recipients of that message from the body what's happening. And so, similar to Samuel Taylor Coleridge's belief statement of, quote, "You do not believe, you only believe that you believe," I would offer an adaptation on feelings. You do not feel, you only feel that you feel. And keep in mind, this is only for humans within the human experience, underlined, capitalized, bolded, and many times larger font structure that we've created for ourselves. From the standpoint of the animals, this translation seems to work, as theirs is the language of pure energy without the overlay of mind that's so human-centric and that gets in the way a lot, with direct interaction with what we are actually feeling, and more accurately, with what is coming in as information from the body. It doesn't really matter what the situation or the issue is, the body and the animal say, because truth and fact are separated human experience structure and concept of mind. So many emotions get plastered over with just to start, "Oh, you can't feel that way. That's not nice." Or, "It's important for you to feel this way so you can get it out of your system." with physical feelings, either by themselves or as an extension of the emotional understructure, we also have inserted other separate humans, cue science, who tell us, here's what's wrong with our bodies, simply by hearing how we feel, or more accurately, how we tell them we think we feel. Which, to be honest, it's a bit ludicrous, right? How can I know what water tastes like to you? I only know what water tastes like to me. And yes, I'm going to put a caveat in here, a large one. I do understand that believing, keyword, how the body works, which is what science does, as a reminder, believe. And yes, we perceive we've answered questions about those beliefs being borne out. We still go back to the statement, we believe this is how it all works. And you know, we either love to talk about or avoid like the plague, some of us, how we think we're feeling and how we feel about what we're feeling, yet rarely do we acknowledge the actual feelings underlying the more layered feelings. Nor do we often talk about the emotions behind why we're freezing at first and then fighting, fleeing, or fainting. Later, of course, we may or may not get to the feelings of what emotions and feelings are under the reaction of the fight, flight, or faint, because the reaction time based on the situation may be different. I think as a mother about hypothetically, and perhaps definitely probably true at some point, my reaction to seeing either of my children in danger would likely not be to faint. And let's carve out what happens during the freeze first. It's at this point that the nervous system is literally smacked upside its entire self with a blast of incoming energy from either internal or external stimuli, and in some cases, one and the same. Say that in this example, I see one of my kids about to go running pell-mell across a busy street just so they can get to the ice cream truck parked across on the other side of the road. There will be a literal heart-stopping moment of, oh, schnitzel, or some other choice word in my mind, and perhaps sometimes coming out of my mouth. And then we choose, based on that incoming energy, a reaction to the situation. Perhaps running even faster than pell-mell across the sidewalk where our progeny is just getting ready to step off the curb, I might yank on one arm so hard it may leave a bruise, and I may pull that child back close to my center mass of gravity, where it's safe. And then come the emotions, or rather accurately, the feelings that I feel. Perhaps it's unadulterated rage. I can definitely say, been there, for show. And a statement of, why were you not watching where you were going, and etc. Followed closely by, it could be tears and perhaps feeling faint. It could be running with the child back into the house as far away from the ice cream truck as can be imagined. Again, we feel that we feel. The body offers up choices based on the autonomic nervous system, and yes, I would submit that we may be predisposed to one over the other. Keep in mind, I have always said the reaction for animals that are not in human experience, that are in animal experience, is based on two motivating factors, either fear or pain. Reactivity in animals often gets mislabeled so much as aggression. We perceive it to be aggressive because perhaps we perceive that we're going to be attacked, which is why you see often in the media, there was a bear attack, there was a shark attack, etc., when it was really nothing more than either fear or pain, and that animal was choosing fight, flight, or faint. So, we choose as well a reaction, even though it seems like a reaction rather than a response. And to be clear, every single situation involving the prompt from the sympathetic part of the autonomic nervous system is all relative. This is a very key point. To the individual experiencing that prompt, and time is conversely not relative to the prompt. Because we can't know that the adult who is physically uncomfortable with hugs is not reacting to their history, perhaps, of a child who is also not comfortable with hugs, say, from adults, and who was pushed then to conform to this human-centric behavior of showing that they love them. And of course, that history may also have quite a bit more contrast than we know, or frankly, that humans would care to bargain for. My own reaction seems to be more of the fight variety. I am well aware of this. I will be aware of the initial onslaught of energy, and I think it's good to be as descriptive as possible here so that you can understand more fully how your own body works, so that you can actually feel what your body is saying to you. This is where I find my body freezing. And it's like it takes a few steps back, as in, wait, what's happening right now? And then I'll pause, even for a split second, because my body always, always, always speaks the truth to me. As does yours to you, if you just listen. And then, depending upon whether a violation of a boundary has occurred, think mountain lion guarding her cubs on a trail, my choice of reaction will likely be anger and or defensive fight. Because I will feel vulnerable. And I think it's worth it to look back at your own history and even in the present moment to see what your maybe predisposed choice of reaction might be, or even if you have one. It all goes under the heading of know thyself better than anyone else. If a different situation presents itself, such as a non-maternal protective one, where it's just me against a perceived and or factual predator, I and my body might choose flight, where running away appears to be the way to avoid the threat, or, and I've definitely been in this situation before, I may also choose a faint or a type of faint where it seems like I'm moving on autopilot and just going through the motions in order to simply survive the situation, whether it lasts 5 minutes, 5 days, or 5 months. Again, time isn't relative, although what is most definitely relative is the impact on the soul, which is molded and woven so intimately within that very structure of the physical body that what affects the body affects the soul and vice versa. So, when the sympathetic nervous system alerts to a threat and responds, so too does the energy of the soul by matching the energy of the autonomic system response with a release of a piece of the soul to match. Especially in situations where the threat is so profound and reverberating, if you will, in vibrational energy, the soul releases the same amount of matching soul energy and inserts what I refer to as a GPS pin into the time and the place of the situation. Once the sympathetic nervous system subsides and resets itself mostly back to normal via the parasympathetic nervous system, the soul piece doesn't necessarily return home, if you will. That takes intention on the part of the individual, either animal or human, to ask it to return home by way of a statement in the process of soul retrieval, which goes something like this. It's safe to come home. Nothing like that will ever happen again. Most definitely a key piece that I cannot manufacture for an individual is that intention, because it's not my trauma, it's not my body and soul that need to be reset. So, in essence, this takes the freeze, fight, flight, or faint, and can move it into the fifth F, that of forward. When that initial feeling of trauma causes the body to freeze and a subsequent response comes online and then subsides, the body, believe it or not, is eager to get back to the place of feeling happy and healthy and whole on the planet Earth once again. It is our human experience structure that has moved us away from the energy of the soul and our own feelings as aligned with soul energy that can tend to cycle us back through the sympathetic nervous system response of reliving that trauma ad infinitum on a cycle of wash, rinse, and repeat. which moves us further away from our own authentically knowing the feelings that we're actually feeling, apart from this now short-circuited, in a sense, nervous system response. And it is that trauma response by the body that affected the soul in such a big way that needs a different kind of an intentional response and choice versus an autonomic response, if you will, and one that consists entirely of energy. So that while most certainly the past cannot be changed and a particular situation cannot be subtracted from the whole of a life experience, it is the powerhouse of the soul, coupled with pure intention of forward, that moves to reclaim the most important part of all of a soul path, that which we might refer to as separated soul pieces. You came onto Earth with a complete and intact soul, and you deserve to have as complete of a soul as possible while you're here, so that your soul's energy can be the very engine that helps you and supports you in this wild and crazy roller coaster ride called life on Earth. At least, that's how the animals see it. Thanks for listening today. Leave a review if you're so inspired, and be sure to subscribe to this podcast. I offer all new clients a free 15-minute consultation. Reach out if you think I can be of service and to schedule online via www.lizanneflynn.com. Come and find me on social media, Facebook, Twitterverse, Instagram, and LinkedIn. I encourage you to sign up for my quarterly newsletter on my website, where I also post notices for upcoming events, the starting date of courses in the Animal's Eye View Academy, and online psychic fairs. Tune in on January the 5th, 2023, where the first ambassador message of 2023 is waiting for us. It's from Dinosaur, and the message is, "Not again." This has been the Animal's Eye View podcast. I'll see you next time.